Please be seated. Welcome back, everyone. And welcome if you are a first-time visitor. If you are a first-time visitor, you may not know that we have this tradition, at least in the northeast part of the Unitarian Universalist world, that in the summer, we have a different kind of worship. It is lay-led, and it is actually only in recent Unitarian Universalist history that we have some kind of in-gathering celebration like this today in the fall. Early on, when there was the summer break, the end of it was usually noted with a little line in the church newsletter that said, "The minister has returned from his summer vacation." But for now, we have this pattern. I enjoy it, but I have to say, it's also wonderful to be back here and back with you. This summer, I ran across Lisa Krohn's 2015 acceptance speech at the Tonys for a musical she wrote, Fun Home, which is actually based on a graphic novel also entitled Fun Home. In her acceptance speech, she said, "For many, many years, I have had a dream. I don't mean a metaphorical dream. I don't mean a Martin Luther King dream. I mean an actual, when I'm sleeping, dream. That I suddenly discover that the apartment I live in has all these rooms that I didn't know were there. And I'm like, how did I not know about all these rooms? And I have been thinking about that dream as I've been thinking about the amazing Broadway season, because we all live in this big house and we all have been sitting in the same one or two main rooms and thinking that is the whole house. And this season, some lights got turned on in some other rooms and we are like, oh my God, this house is so much bigger than I thought. I didn't know we had a freaking ballroom. And the pantry, it's full of food. Who knew? The thing is, all those rooms have always been there. And there have always been interesting people in them doing ravishing things. And wouldn't it be so great if after this season, we did not just all go back into the living room? Our house is so big, let's not just all go back into the living room. I was taken with that bit of speech of hers. First of all, because it's funny. Who wouldn't know about all the rooms in their house or apartment? And I remember working with a client when I was working as a therapist who was at a point in his personal life where he was experiencing a lot of personal growth. And he had a recurring dream where the home he lived in was different. He kept discovering rooms that he hadn't known were there before. And so I know that Lisa Krohn's image is powerful and shared beyond just her. And she is saying that there are moments when our capacity grows so fast we don't always know how we have grown, or times when we get so focused on the one thing in front of us that we forget how much we are capable of. And we already have that capacity. Our house is so big already. This is our in-gathering Sunday where we welcome each other back. And it's a hard time to be welcoming and celebrating, isn't it? I would guess that we all know someone who has been affected by Hurricane Harvey or Irma, or perhaps you know somebody out west who is worried about all the forest fires. It is hard to celebrate when we know that others are suffering. It is why I think it's important to know what the history of our water celebration is. Jim, is there anything to be done about that? Jim's going to fiddle with our sound system for a bit, and if that doesn't get fixed, we're going to shut the sound system off, and I'm going to yell at the top of my lungs, and I hope you can hear. So I think it's important for us to learn what or how this water celebration came to be. It was actually first celebrated in 1980, not that long ago. It came to be in the midst of a time when the UUA was grappling with its institutional sexism. In 1975, Lucille Longview served as a UU delegate to the United Nations Women's Year Assembly in Mexico City. She returned from that meeting convinced that religion, even her beloved Unitarian Universalism, was a chief culprit in the of oppressive sexism. When Lucille got back from that meeting in Mexico City, she started to work on her own and with others to put pressure on the UUA to change, to break from their ingrained sexism. In 1977, the UUA passed Women and Religion Resolution, which called for an extensive examination of the sexism inherent in religious literature and institutions, beginning with the UUA itself. Because of the work that Lucille and other women did, the UUA adopted our principles in 1985. They were actually a rewrite so that the language was inclusive, or at least more inclusive. And so you need to know that until 1985, we did not explicitly affirm the dignity of each human being, nor did we affirm the interdependent web of life. Those beloved principles are not original to our principles. And we can thank the women who pushed hard against the patriarchy for those. We found new rooms in our faith. We welcomed more and different people into our faith, and we are better for it. Remember that, as we, as a congregation and as a denomination, wrestle with our own white privilege and our own institutional racism. The path from Longview's 1975 experience with the United Nations to the General Assembly in 1985 was long and difficult. And in between those two benchmark dates, there were countless meetings. Countless. That's not fun. There were worship services that served as profound explorations that sought for transformation. And this water ritual was part of one of those worships. And it was there because those meetings had been difficult, and the women were tired, and they wanted to keep going. The first water ritual was part of a worship service, coming home like rivers to the sea, and the graphic on the front of our order of service was inspired by that worship service. The first water ritual was not made up by ministers. It was not designed in Boston. It was created by women as a way of connecting with and affirming each other and their work. From the first water ritual are these words: celebrating now our connectedness, we choose water as our symbol of empowerment. As rivers in cycle release their waters and regain new beginnings, so do we cycle. For us as women, these beginnings are powerful, but not easy. But still we come to create and to celebrate and to live by the only spirituality worthy of our devotion, a spirituality that uplifts, empowers, and connects. That first water ritual was not about summer vacation. It was about coming together and being with one another. When small springs join with other small springs, creeks are made, and when the small creeks join, rivers are made, and when the rivers join, oceans are made. The symbol of water was chosen because there is power in that symbol. These beginnings are powerful, but not easy. Water can heal and give life, and it can harm, and we are seeing that in the news today and in the past 2 weeks. But still, there is power in coming together, for sure. These beginnings are powerful, but not easy. This past summer, I actually traveled less. It was my husband's and my 20th wedding anniversary in June. Our anniversary always falls at the same time as our UU National Meeting General Assembly. And if I could have predicted the future, I would have picked a different wedding date. Because often I'm away for our anniversary, but this year I promised him that I would stay in town and we would be together. I was able to take my study leave and stay in one place, which meant I really did have more time to step back and ponder the upcoming year and reconnect with my spiritual journey. It was a little bit of a Sabbath time. I ended this summer wondering what it would be like if each of us thought about our travels and our time this past summer as Sabbath. I am sure there are a variety of fun stories and fond memories of travels and adventure this past summer, but what would it be like if each of you thought about your time as sacred and as part of your spiritual journey? What difference would that make, you might be asking? Perhaps I'm just doing a lot of minister talk, and I have lost sight of the real life where tasks must be done and vacations are a lot of work. When you or I take some time to reconnect with our soul, with nature, with those that we love, when we make the effort to let go, even a little, of the huge list of stuff to do, we change and we grow, and our capacity to love, to welcome, becomes stronger. These beginnings are powerful, but not easy. And in them, our house gets even bigger. And this is why I think it is really important for each of us to create special time, Sabbath time, sacred time. It builds capacity. Going somewhere and having an adventure and a vacation helps. But you've probably all had those vacations where you need a vacation at the end of a vacation. But when you take time to step back and consider what does the world want of you and how is the sacred in your life, when you step back to consider what makes you say wow and thanks, there is growth in that. Wow and thanks and our coming together to celebrate where we have been and that we are back together. It deepens us and builds our capacity. It makes our house bigger. And then we can respond to the needs of the world. Without celebration, without connection, we burn out. So let us take time to celebrate. Let us remember that water is powerful, and in part, it is that power that makes it sacred. Let us remember to say wow and thanks. And I offer us this challenge. What would happen if our congregation, as a community, asked these questions of ourselves? What makes us say wow and thanks? What does the world want of us? First UU, how is the sacred here in this community? If we work at answering those questions, we will find our extra rooms. We will become more than we are, and we will invite people in to share this community. So let's not all go back into the well-worn living room. Let's invite people into our house. It is so big. Amen and blessed be.